Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio this weekend by District 3 Tuolumne County Supervisor Anaya Kirk. Supervisor Kirk, next thing I want to ask you about is the Tuolumne County Economic Development Authority. The county, as well as the city of Sonora, both recently decided to dissolve that agency. It was a 5-0 vote. Can you tell us about your vote and your reaction to this decision?
Well, my opinion, you know, when I went into the board meeting, the article from the Union Democrat, I guess, had come out that morning, and I hadn't had a chance to read it. So going into the meeting, really the reason why I voted to dissolve it was two simple reasons. First of all, I don't think the drama is going to go away with that authority until a certain group of people see Larry Cope go away. That's why I made the comment at the board, at the meeting that, you know, it's kind of like high school on steroids. I think there's drama that's just not going to go away until he's off that board. And then the second reason why I voted to dissolve it and break ties is I believe we're wasting county resources. As far as Economic Development Authority goes, we haven't really been able to do economic development because we've been dealing, with the lawsuits and, you know, requests from citizens for documents, which is all good, but. You know, we have county council involved with this. We have auditor's office involved with this. So we're just wasting too much time dealing with the issues that the agency's created, and we're not doing economic development. And so that's part of the reason why I cut ties. And, I don't want to waste any more resources. I do want to be clear, though. You know, the Democrat and others, they can keep raising issues about Cope's lending or Cope's spending habits all they want. But at the end of the day, the problem isn't necessarily the spending habits. It's the violation of a policy. Did that organization violate any policies? Now, I completely agree. It's not a wise use of money. You shouldn't be going out to Taco Bell. You shouldn't be taking county officials out to lunch. It all looks bad, and I completely get that. But from my point of views, we need to address the policies, because if you don't address the policies and you get a new executive director in that position, you're going to have the same problems. So, for every complaint that I've read and I've heard about regarding the Development Authority, I've heard 10 times more, especially from the business community. People really appreciated what that authority did and even what Larry did. A lot of people don't realize that a big reason why the mill is here in our community is specifically because of Larry's ability to facilitate that transaction. And that turned into over 300 jobs. That's tens of millions of dollars worth of economic transactions. And so from a business point of view, people like him, but it appears to me that there's something political going on behind the scenes. So politics don't like him, but businesses like him. To me, he appears to be a good man who has a family, but, you know, his name is being dragged through the mud. So I want to see the personal attack stop, and I want to go after the problem. And the problem is the policies. We got to address the policies. After we address the policies, we can clean up the authority and we can move on with economic development. Because like I said, if we don't address the policies, we're just going to get a new person in there and they're going to, you know, down the road, they're going to probably repeat the same mistakes.
So moving forward, when it comes to economic development in Tuolumne County, what would you like to see?
So what we need to do as a board is look at, I don't want to reinvent the wheel completely. We need to look at other what other authorities are doing and try and basically not reinvent the wheel, look at what works and then tailor that to our community. You know, we're a small town, so we do have to tailor it to our needs. But my specific that I want to see on it is moving forward is I really want to go after business attraction. We got businesses in the Bay Area. We have businesses in the Valley who are getting forced out of rent. They can't afford the homes. Their employees can't afford the homes. So I would like to put together a tax incentive to attract them to our area. If we can get them up here through tax incentives, then they can move their employees up here. They can start their businesses up here, and that will create jobs for our locals. You know, I tell people my son, he's 6 years old and he's learning coding to be an engineer. I would love for him to stick around here, maybe 20 years down the road, get some of these tech companies up here, you know, and be able to get my son stay local and do have work up here. So it's about tax incentives for me, business attraction, broadband, agritourism. Those are some of the things I would like the authority to focus on. But we do have to start over. The public's trust, I believe, has been lost currently. So because of the unilateral withdrawal with the Board of Supervisors and the City of Sonora, the TCEDA board, they did give written notice to Larry, and they terminated that contract. And right now they just recently negotiated his severance. So we got to start fresh. We got to start new, but we got to put politics behind us and move on. And my generation wants economic growth. We want economic opportunities. And that's part of the reason why I got elected, and that's what I'm going to fight for moving forward.
Supervisor Kirk, next thing I want to ask you about is fire safety and fire resiliency. You mentioned District 3 going all the way up to Sonora Pass. That's a very forested area of the county. So what's your thoughts just on that overall issue?
Well, so the overall problem is it's taken us decades to get here. It's 40, 50, 60 years of forest mismanagement. So when we say we're going to make a fire-safe community, it's not going to happen overnight. Long-term, well, here, I'll touch on the short-term, and then we'll go long-term. So short-term, we got a fire season coming up here in June, July. And so how much can we need to be realistic about how much we really can do between now and then. So first thing I believe we can do is we got to educate people. People got to get buy-in. We got to get people from the community who start sharing this with the neighbor, who start sharing this with their neighbors who are living out of town, get businesses involved, the schools involved. We got to educate people about, hey, we live in a high fire zone. This is part of where we live, so make sure you're prepared. And then part of that is also defensible space, making sure people understand that defensible space works. If a fire kicks off in the canyon down behind Tuolumne or Miwok and it crowns, really all the defensible space that we did probably won't do any good. Once a fire crowns, it's almost impossible to stop. However, if we do create defensible space, what we're preventing are those fires that you'll never hear about. You know, when the chain's going down the road or somebody gets a debris fire that gets loose from them, when you have just defensible space, that will stop a lot of fires. And we never hear about those success stories. So it's, for me, I get the big picture. If a big fire crowns, there's not a lot we can do unless we have major fire breaks and we hit it hard. But for our local communities, we can do defensible space and it works. And so we got to make sure that we're doing that. I don't want to have to implement an ordinance. I don't want government telling me to clean my lot, but we're to the point now where things are so intense, like as we saw in the Paradise Fire, where we got to make sure people are doing this. The next thing, so there's three points that I want to make. Educate people, we got to notify people, and we got to make sure that people, I wrote down right here, can basically get the hell out. When it comes to notifying people, you know, we have the Everbridge system where texts, you know, get sent out to people. But as I said, we don't have broadband. A lot of people don't have access to cell phones. So it's kind of looking at it multiple ways, the Everbridge system. But something that I'm going to look into and that I'm really going to push that this board look into and spend some money on is kind of going old school, getting some sirens placed in certain key locations within our community. Some of the sirens I've done some research on can reach up to two and a half miles long, and they don't need any, you know, they're battery powered or solar powered. So kind of looking at the high populated areas, getting sirens on. That way, if a fire does kick off and you hear the siren, you know, we can notify our neighbors, we can notify people and get out immediately. And then the last thing is our roads. Short term, between now and then, there's some roads up in Ponderosa. There's a road in District 2 that, right now, if the front side of Ponderosa went up in flames, there's only one road to get out. And if you try to get out that road right now, you can't. It's completely bogged down. There's ditches everywhere. So between now and the summertime, I want to educate people. I want to really try and push to get some sirens put up. I don't know if we'll be able to do it in time. And then make sure our roads are accessible to get out. I think realistically, those three things are the only thing we can do between now and next fire season. And then long term, healthy or fire safe communities are in healthy forests. So long term, we got to keep pushing the master stewardship agreement. We got to keep pushing projects. There is a ton of funding coming from the state level, the federal level. We got to make sure we're going after those monies and that we're putting them in our community, doing everything we can to create these fire breaks and defensible space. And then not only that, but afterwards maintain them. And I was doing some research the other day and something for some of those fire breaks. You know, the concern is once we do this defensible space or once we do these projects, how are we going to have the money to maintain them? And there's some actually real cool, simple ideas like hiring goat farmers. These people have like hundreds of goats and you set up an electric fence and they, you know, every spring they come through and they they chow down all the vegetation and you move on to the next spot. So, I mean, there's some real simple ideas. But as a board member, I got to keep it real simple and make sure that the things we can do between now and the next fire season are attainable, and then, you know, work with the long-term solutions. And the beautiful thing is, living up here, we have so many experts in these fields. I don't have to be an expert in everything. I just have to get the information, filter it, and push as hard as I can to get it to happen.
Following what everybody witnessed in Paradise, like you mentioned the Ponderosa Hills area and other areas in your district as well, do you think there might have to be some new kind of emergency routes looked at to try to open up in case there needs to be another way out?
Absolutely. We are going to look at that. But I think the first thing that we need to do is we have to fix what we have and make sure that's usable. And then I think a longer term solution would be looking, maybe cutting some additional roads or taking the road projects that we have right now. And as we get SB1 money and we're fixing roads, hey, maybe we can widen them, put it some bike lanes in. Either way, so that when an emergency does happen, there's more space for people to get in and out. And it's not just the road, but it's also the canopy, the trees above those roads. Because what we're seeing is these fires come through and these trees are catching on fire and then they're, you know, falling across the road. So we got to make sure that we're using those roads kind of also as breaks as well, but make sure when a fire does come through that they can be accessible.
Growing up in this area, I have to imagine you've seen a majority of the big fires, the Rim Fire, maybe even Stanislaus Complex Fire growing up.
Yep. I tell people it's funny. One of my first memories with my grandfather was picking bark beetles. And he was a chemist, and he told me, we're picking these beetles and sending them off to get testing. And part of the reason was because he told me our forests weren't managed. And these beetles, once there's a drought, these beetles are going to come through and destroy our forests. And then we're going to have massive fires. And now here I am, you know, living in his predictions. And I did live through the complex fire. I remember being hanging out at Tween Heart School in their parking lot, seeing the ashes come down. And so, yeah, it's part of life up here. If you live up in the mountains, then you have to, you know, you have to be, we can't be wimps about it. We live in the mountains. There's fires, but we got to do everything we can to mitigate it and to be safe and to help each other out.
Next thing I'll ask you about is right before you took office, the general plan update was approved by the county. I'm curious just your general thoughts on the new plan.
I'm not a general plan expert. I'm not a zoning expert. I'm more of a citizen coming into government. And when I was looking into the general plan throughout my campaign, from the research I gathered, this has been going on for years, 6 years of planning, getting it evaluated, making sure it's, for the most part, bulletproof as far as planning goes. And so I felt confident. There was a few issues I thought that maybe needed to be touched on, which were fire safe issues. But then as I dive more into it towards the end of it, I found that the general plan does speak to some of our fire issue concerns. And if that needs to be updated going forward, we will. But we have great staff. We have experts who go out to school, they get their master's degrees, and this is what they do for a living. So I was confident that the plan was done right, that it was done well. I know there's a lawsuit right now, but if you go back and you look, the 1996 general plan was sued. The other, you know, it's these same groups that appear to be suing things no matter what, who or what does them. So my take on it, you know, some people were saying that the new board of supervisors should be able to vote on it. But again, this has been going on for 6 years, and it was that board who had been working really hard to do it. So I had no problem as a new supervisor coming in. It was work that they had done. It was work that they got to vote on, and that's fine with me. So
I remember, I believe I saw you at the Planning Commission meeting. You spoke mm-hmm. briefly, and it seemed like you were okay with the passage at that point in time.
Yeah, because it kept getting brought up that the two new members should mm-hmm. vote on it. And so I felt, okay, well, then I have a responsibility to at least address that. But I did do my research, and one of my concerns was the fire issue. But as I did my research, I found a lot of my answers were, or a lot of my questions were already answered. So I did stand up and said, hey, yeah, you should go ahead and vote. If I was in your shoes, I'd vote on it. So, yeah.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with the new supervisor for District 3, Anaya Kirk, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, and we'll be back with our final segment here in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.